Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the 2011 Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. So let's begin with a breath of gratitude and placing our hands on our hearts. We open our minds. We make ourselves fully available. Breathing in gratitude, breathing out gratitude. We're consciously connecting and communing with our own higher Holy Spirit self and the oneness of all life. Setting the intention to have a healing, have expansion, receive clarity, insight, wisdom, that lights us up from the inside, from the inside. We're opening our hearts and minds to the clarity of how we love ourselves fully and completely. Expanding into spiritual self-esteem and self-confidence, knowing our true identity as perfect, whole, and complete. Dissolving and resolving the ego thought patterns and awakening to our divinity as never before. Opening ourselves to an unprecedented expansion and healing. This is what I know for us. So grateful to invoke the Holy Spirit right now, invoking divine grace right now. Invoking the loving presence into our hearts and minds, setting ourselves free, truly finding freedom in our awareness. It's been there all along, and we're open to it right now. Consciously releasing attachments to the past, to what has been, to the conditioned view, the ego patterns dissolved. This is what we're calling forth. A magnificent healing, we accept it fully, gratefully, and joyfully. In grace and gratitude, we share the benefits with everyone, for we are one with them. In grace and gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, so we're going to rock it out this morning. And just want to say up front, some people have been asking what's next. They'd like to know what I'm offering next. So today I am announcing my 7-week spiritual boot camp class, which is Finding Freedom. And at the end of the class, if you'd like to stay on the line, I am going to tell you about the Finding Freedom class and answer hopefully your basic questions about that class and taking a next step with me. So, taking our breath of gratitude. One of the things that I know for me as a spiritual being, I find that what I'm really doing here meaning in this perception of separation in this 3D experience of human life. And what I'm doing is I am a spiritual being facilitating a human experience.
And we can look at it and see it as very complex, or we can look at it and see it as very simple. So the ego will convince us that it's very complex, but the spirit knows that it's very simple. So for me, the basic practice is to consistently, devotedly connect in with the spirit. You've heard me say it many times in Living A Course in Miracles, partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self. Partner up. And the folks that have been doing that have been writing to me and letting me know that it is amazing what happens when they consistently, moment by moment, remember to partner up, that they're not alone. Because in this human experience, it often feels like we're alone. Isn't that the appearance of separation? When we believe it, then we feel alone. We feel that no one will really ever understand us, that we'll always feel separate. And because all thoughts produce form at some level, if we keep thinking that thought, we're going to keep experiencing that over and over again. So that's what I was doing. And for me personally, what I realized was I have to have true motivation before I do anything. I don't make a cup of tea without motivation. I don't go to the bank. I don't exercise. I don't do anything without motivation. So we have to understand, what is the motivation for paying attention to building that sense of true self-love, self-esteem, self-confidence, self-worth? We have to have a clear motivation for it. And of course, one motivation is to end the suffering of feeling unworthy. However, I would venture to say that everyone who's participating in this class already has so many clear ideas of what they could do in order to end their suffering, and yet they don't have the motivation to do it. So if you know clear steps for you to take that would end your suffering quickly, but you don't take them, then there isn't a strong motivation to end the suffering. There's more motivation to keep it going. So for me, that realization is really helpful, and any realization is valuable to me. So what I have learned to do is to not beat myself up for what is. So if I realize, okay, I don't have the motivation yet to love myself, to value myself, and so I don't have self-esteem and self-confidence, and that's creating all kinds of suffering in my life, I don't go to the thought of, I'm such a loser for not cultivating that motivation. Instead, what I like to do is take the spiritual point of view, the graceful point of view, and say, oh, what's that about? I like to make a spiritual inquiry. So rather than go right into judgment, because that's what I used to do, I've trained my mind to instead go, oh, what's that about? What's that about? And then what happens is it opens my mind to receive inspiration, insight, and divine guidance. And then I'm at a crossroads. Will I follow the guidance? Will I value the insight? Will I nurture the wisdom in my own mind? What will I do with it? I need to know the answer to that. So it's really about training the mind. That's why I love A Course in Miracles. That's why I love Science of Mind, because they help train the mind. They help us to understand the value of holding ourselves accountable to our mind and paying attention and being in that partnership. So This class is about assisting you in getting motivation. Because there's a lot that can be said about cultivating self-love, self-esteem, and self-confidence. And just FYI, if this is a real major issue for you and you would like help with that, Stop Playing Small, Finding Freedom, those two classes will go a long way. And then Masterful Living is my year-long program, and we focus on that as one of the key ingredients for the whole year. If we don't value ourselves, then what we're doing as spiritual seekers is we're modeling that. So this is one of the big challenges that I see all the time with spiritual seekers, is that they're modeling a lack of self-esteem. Let me explain that. When I was studying to be a practitioner and studying to be a minister, what I saw all around me was beautiful people, spiritual beings, very, very dedicated, interested in their spiritual studies. And we were all doing lots of volunteer and service work. So in the Agape Practitioner Training Program, there is much requirement around volunteering and giving service. Now, my family, my parents, were social activists, and they were... my mom was a social worker and a teacher, and my dad is a teacher. And so my parents raised me to be of service in the community. That is something that is very important. So I grew up volunteering, and I understood that. And what I found in the spiritual community is people would volunteer to exhaustion. So they would work a 40 or a 50-hour week, and then they would volunteer 20 hours a week, constantly in service. And then I could see that it was really affecting them, that they were worn down, they were tired, they would show up exhausted. And then what would happen is they would deplete themselves so much that sometimes they would just give up and they would stop showing up, feeling that they couldn't be a part of the community, or that the community was demanding too much of them, or that they didn't know how to manage themselves, and so they would just give up and leave the community altogether. I saw that over and over again, that someone who was very capable, very talented, would take on way too much. And so I started making inquiry about that, because I felt that same impulse to take on too much, and I realized, oh, you know what? This is wearing me down. This is not loving. This is not kind to myself. And what I discovered was it was a dysfunctional compassion. So out of compassion, which is an active expression of love, out of compassion, out of love, I was volunteering. I was in service. But I was not loving myself. I was not having compassion for myself, because I was overgiving. And that's not self-love. What that is that is giving to get. That is giving to get. And that is not self-love. The only reason that I was giving to get was because I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I was worthy. So the ego had a hold of my mind. The ego had a hold of my spiritual practice. The ego had a hold of my volunteering and my service in my spiritual community. And I'm so grateful that I saw that, that I had so many examples around me, that I felt the impulses in myself, and I was able to make an inquiry and say, what's that about? So those of you who participated in Living A Course in Miracles, you know that we talked about self-medication. We touched on it. And how many of us go to coping and managing and self-medicating. And what that does is that affirms that there's something wrong with us. So one of the things I also shared was I grew up, I came into this human experience incarnated with a belief that there was something basically, fundamentally wrong with me. Now, I actually don't care where that thought came from or how it was that I latched onto it as though it were true. But for 40 years of my life, I believed that there was something basically, unchangeably, unfixably wrong with me. So it appeared as though I had confidence. It appeared as though I had self-esteem. It appeared as though I had self-love. But I really thought that there was something unfixably wrong with me. And that thought affected every minute of every day of my life. It affected every choice that I made. It affected the quality of every relationship. Because here's how it worked for me. I was always afraid that it would be discovered by my friends, by my coworkers, by anyone in my life that there was something wrong with me. I didn't know what it was, but something was really wrong with me. And my family knew it. They knew me well enough to know it. And so it really affected my ability to be intimate, really intimate. And I was able to have really close friends and close relationship. At the same time, I always was afraid for that day when the person that I cared about, that I was close to, would say, you know what, I just realized there's something really wrong with you, and I don't think I can handle that. So it made me very defensive, and it also was, I think, the reason why I was so judgmental, because I was holding this judgment in my own mind about myself, so as a defense against anyone finding out what was wrong with me, putting it in my face, because I believed it was unfixable, unchangeable, I would constantly be on the attack, constantly defensive, constantly judgmental, constantly criticizing, so that nobody could get close enough to my heart to see whatever it was that was wrong and so bad. Then what happened was I was so miserable. I was so miserable that I began to really pray for healing. I began to pray to have a full realization of the Christ consciousness in my awareness. I was praying for liberation from the sense of separation. I was praying to know the truth. And I believed that if I could have a full realization of the Christ consciousness, that everything else would be added unto me. That would be the healing that would wipe everything that was wrong with me out. If I could have a full realization of the Christ consciousness. So while at that time I wasn't working with the seek first the kingdom and all else will be added unto you, I really was. I really was. And I just decided to hold on to that one thought, that one prayer above all else. And so, because I was immersed in spiritual community, I was trained to be a practitioner and then a minister, I really began to dedicate and devote myself to releasing the judgments and the opinions about myself and everyone else. And what happened was, And this is so amazing to me. When I began to sit with people as a practitioner, I knew that the only way I could be a true practitioner, an effective practitioner, was to be able to see the client clearly, whole, perfect, and complete. And I had to train my mind to recognize that all their opinions and all their judgments and all the ego patterns was not who they really were. That they were perfect, whole, and complete. And I was committed to that. I did not want to be a fake practitioner. I did not want to be a fake minister. I wanted to be the real deal. And I intended to be the real deal. So I began to train my mind to release any judgments, any opinions whatsoever about my clients. And I was able to see, I began to be able to see very clearly their perfection, their wholeness. And that brought forth healing in their life and in mine, because all minds are joined. And so what happened for me was, when I was willing to see truly that there was nothing wrong with anyone else, that everyone is beautiful, underneath their opinions and their judgments and those ego patterns is the perfection of the spirit, which is immutable. It's unbreakable. It's undamageable. It is pure, perfect, pristine. When I was willing to see that about everyone who came into my life, at last I could see it about myself and know that I am that I am. I am that I am. That is my true nature, and that is my true calling. That right there is so key. If you still value being able to judge someone else, you will still feel judged. The judger always feels judged. The attacker always feels attacked. Why? Because you're the one thinking the thought. All thoughts produce form at some level. If that thought is of value to you, that judgment, that opinion, then you will project it into the world, and that will be your experience. Doesn't make it true, but the lie believed will be perceived as the truth. The lie believed will be perceived as the truth. So it's interesting, as a practitioner working with people, people have had amazing healings in session with me, and especially with repeat work where they really are focusing, same within the classes, they have amazing, amazing healings. And this is the thing that is so cool and beautiful. I am not the healer. I am not the healer. I'm not a healer. I'm not a healer. Spirit is the healer. They are the healer. Their mind is the healer. But what happens is that two or more who are gathered, and that's what's happening right now. Right now. As I'm speaking and you're listening, we are the two or more who are gathered with a purpose and an intention for healing, to let go of the conditioned view, to let go of the false ideas about ourselves and everyone else, so that we can be the living truth. What I know is there are few things more painful than someone who is a spiritual seeker, a spiritual teacher, a spiritual healer, who is still energizing and caring and believing things that are not true. It can be so painful. For me, holding on to judgments about myself or anyone else became so excruciating that I just couldn't bear it. any time that I really wanted to believe something negative about myself or anyone else, it got so painful, it would just bring me to my knees. And I had to make an offering of it. I had to partner up with the Holy Spirit because the pain was unbearable. It was excruciating because I had such a desire to know the divinity of all life. And the only thing that was blocking it was my valuing my opinions and my judgments. Now, here's the motivation. Many spiritual seekers would like to have a greater experience of enlightenment and awakening and freedom. They'd like to have more prosperity, more abundance, have relationship healing. You cannot have those things and enjoy them unless you love yourself. You cannot have true abundance, true prosperity, true relationship healing, true freedom if you are not willing to love yourself completely, fully, as you are. You are blocking it. You are blocking the prosperity. You're blocking the healing of your body temple. You're blocking the healing of your relationships. You're blocking everything that is something that you would like to have if you are not willing to love yourself. You must make self-love number one if you would like to experience the spiritual qualities of life freely expressing in your life. You must love yourself. So I have a YouTube video about self-confidence, and I invite you to go and watch it again after this class. Self-confidence comes from keeping your agreements with your higher Holy Spirit self. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that we bring into this life experience past life karma. I don't think it's really particularly valuable to try and figure out what the karma is, how it was created, or anything like that. However, I do believe that we are here to dissolve and resolve it. And what is karma but ego patterns? That's what it is. So we're here to dissolve those ego patterns. And every time that we do, we are bringing benefit to everyone. Every time that we energize that we like the ego patterns, we like being able to hold on to judgment, we like feeling separate, and we value all the mechanisms of separation that we hold on to in our mind, either way, we're affecting everyone because we're one with them. So if you're a spiritual seeker, a healer, a life coach, if you're a being like that, and you're still holding on to and valuing resentments and regrets and unforgiveness, then at a very deep core level, you are going to be so afraid and angry and hurt because you're betraying yourself. You're betraying your spiritual self. And see, I used to do that. It was excruciating. And I'm so glad now that I did that because I understand it now and I can share it with you. Self-confidence comes from walking your talk. It does not come from accomplishment in the world. Confidence comes from walking your talk. Confidence comes from aligning your heart and mind and being congruent. So if in your heart you are thinking, I'd like to know God more fully, I'd like to have mystical spiritual expansion, I'd like to understand what the great mystics understood, I would like to enlighten, ascend, reach the atonement, however you want to language it, but you're still not willing to walk your talk, 100% of the time, you won't have self-confidence. You won't have self-esteem. Because you will know that every day you are actively choosing and valuing breaking your word, not keeping your agreements, being untrustworthy. You won't have faith. You won't believe that your prayers work. You will wonder if God is really there. You will feel disillusioned and disappointed. Why? Because you are choosing to create a life experience where people don't have to keep their agreements, where it's not important. People can say one thing and do another. Walking the talk is not valuable because you do not value it. So what you will also call forth is betrayal after betrayal after betrayal. People won't keep their agreements. Your life will seem like things are constantly slipping through your hands. And you will look to blame others. You will look to project that blame out into the world. That the reasons why you feel alone and the reasons why you don't feel good about yourself, it's all because of what other people did to you. But there reaches a point where you have to recognize that it's time for you to become spiritually mature and to value spiritual sovereignty. So don't take my word for it. Do not take my word for anything. You must do your own exploration, and that is how you build self-esteem. Self-esteem comes from your spiritual practice. It cannot come from anywhere else. If you are looking to build self-esteem and self-confidence and self-love through relating to others or anything like that, you're on the slow boat. The fast track to remembering the truth about yourself, and that's what self-love and self-esteem and self-confidence is, the fast track is through your spiritual practice. And that is one of the things that I find many spiritual seekers are not willing to do. They will drive 3 hours to take a class, to hear some teacher who has some wisdom. But the teacher who has the wisdom is your own higher Holy Spirit self. Everything you could ever want to know is in the Science of Mind textbook. It's in A Course in Miracles. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. When you access the teachings that are already encoded, seek first the kingdom, which is within, and all else that you think you want will be added unto you. That which has true value will be added unto you. This has been my experience, and that's why I'm like Archangel Gabriel blowing the trumpet, because it's so amazing and miraculous to me that you don't have to spend thousands of dollars and go halfway around the world to sit with some guru. You are the guru. But if you won't take a chance on your own inner guru, you'll never know. So the key to self-love is being willing to be with yourself. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. And this is one that I am given in my Masterful Living class. And that's my year-long class. And so here I'm giving you this homework assignment. And obviously you can do it or not according to your own willingness and motivation. There's a meditation practice that is what the Buddha used to enlighten when he sat under the Bodhi tree, and it's called Vipassana, V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A, and it's pronounced Vipassana, V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A. And there are free classes all over the world in Vipassana. Now, Vipassana is a 10-day meditation retreat. It's free. The Vipassana people will house you and feed you for 10 days, and you can make a donation. And you can watch videos about it. And there's a beautiful teacher. He's a Burmese man, and he's hilarious and fun. I really appreciate him. Goenka G is his name. And he's got a lot of wisdom, and he's a beautiful, beautiful teacher. And he struggled so many years to get the understanding that he has. So he's a true, beautiful teacher. And the Vipassana meditation is a wonderful practice. I encourage you to sign up for a Vipassana retreat and go. So that's one thing. But I also encourage you to just make a Vipassana day for yourself. So I'm going to give you my own version of a Vipassana beginning day. Here's what you do. You make a plan for yourself to spend the entire day, meaning every waking minute, in your meditation. So what you're going to want to do is create an environment where nobody's going to be asking anything of you. And in this one day, now I'll also let you know that there are retreat houses all over where you could go and they will host you. You might have to pay a fee or whatever so that you could do your one day there. If maybe it's challenging for you, you have family or whatever. But very often you can find, if you're intent on it, you can go to a hotel or a motel, or you have a friend who's going to be out of town and you can use their home while they're gone. So here's the thing. For the entire day, preferably, no cats, no dogs, nothing needing your care. Although, don't let that take you out of the game. Don't let anything take you out of the game. This is your healing. So for that entire day, you are going to be with yourself. So there are no other practices. You'll want to prepare meals ahead of time so that you can just quickly heat your meal up or, you know, take your meal out of the fridge. All the work is done for you, so you're not distracted from your meditation. Now, you're not reading books. You're not going for walks. You're not taking baths. You're not chanting. And in truth, you're not actually meditating. You're just being with yourself. So it's a contemplative meditation that you do for the entire waking day. So you shower quickly. You bathe quickly. You've laid out your clothes ahead of time. So you're not distracting yourself from being with yourself. You're not exercising. You're not doing yoga. For one day, you are simply focusing on you. And what do you think? You're not journaling. You're not writing things down. It's not important. For one day, everything is just you are in a conversation with yourself. Now, I get that for people who don't love themselves, that could feel really intensely daunting. But before you begin, the day before, as you're leading up to it, and the day you begin, you partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self. You call your guides and angels to you, and you dedicate the day to healing. So something you could do is, for me, I have an altar, and I make offerings on my altar. So I have a dish for water, a dish for salt, a dish for cornmeal. These are traditional Cherokee offerings, and that's on connected to my Cherokee heritage. Many Buddhists make offerings of water and candle flame, white candle. So I also have that white candle and smoke. For me, it's sage or sometimes incense. I love the Nag Champa incense. So you can make offerings and dedicate your intention to have an amazing healing. And here's why this is really important. The people who do it usually have tremendous insight, tremendous breakthrough, tremendous healing. I've done the 10-day Vipassana. Tremendous healing. Tremendous healing. Tremendous healing of the mind. It's all about a healing of the mind. So why I'm telling you this is because it's not about somebody else is your healer. you must recognize you are the one you've been waiting for, not someone else, not me. You are the one. You are the teacher. The teacher is your higher Holy Spirit self, the I Am presence. If you're not willing to spend time with yourself, then you won't have that self-love breakthrough. Self-confidence comes from keeping your agreements, from deepening your spiritual practice. The spaciousness of your mind comes from deepening your practice. The ability to let go, resolve, and dissolve the ego patterns comes from spending time with yourself in your spiritual practice, making that appointment with yourself. So on a really just the most basic fundamental level, it's about really, truly cutting the cords to seeking outside yourself and truly acting as if, being willing to discover that the kingdom is within. It's never been outside. So it's interesting how often I will sit with someone or someone in a class, and they will tell me how something that happened 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years ago happened to them, and it's still running their life, that their self-esteem and self-worth is dramatically diminished because of that thing that happened so long ago. And I ask them, have they done the forgiveness work to let it go? And they'll either say, no, they haven't, or they've tried, but it doesn't seem to work. Forgiveness is an act of self-love. When we are willing to do our own spiritual practice of forgiveness, we build self-esteem and self-confidence, because every drop of self-spiritual practice that we do is telling the ego mind, I value myself. I am worth it. I am worth my own time and attention. If we're driving all over the place looking for a spiritual guide or teacher or community or something else to lift us up, we're looking outside ourselves. So what I'm inviting you to do is to become the one who goes to the spiritual community, who goes to the class, already anchored in self-love. Not looking to get something, but looking to share something. If you're giving to get, then you must not think you have something to share. Because when we share authentically from the heart, we are not depleted. So I do a lot of teaching and speaking, a lot, and writing. So anyone who's listening to my daily power prayer, reading my daily Spiritual Espresso blog, anyone who's in my classes, in my spiritual community, knows I am constantly sharing. But I share from the overflow. I do not give to get. I don't. Sometimes I feel tempted, oh, that would look good on my resume if I went there and volunteered or participated in some way. And then I think, oh, there's a temptation to energize the ego. I don't think I'll choose that. Nope, I don't need to do that. So one of the things that happens for me is people will offer me, because they would like to have me in the room participating, they'll say, come to my seminar, it's $3,000, but you come for free because I just love to have you there. Well, I could go as an act of service, but if I'm going to get something, thinking that, aren't I important? Everybody will see me there, and that will validate me. Then I must be needing validation and not have it. If you're looking for anyone to validate you, then you haven't done your own work, and you're looking outside yourself. So what I'm going to invite you to do right now in this moment is make a date for yourself to do that. I'm calling it Vipassana, to put your attention towards the Vipassana, because I think it's so valuable. But really what I'm inviting you to do is do a one day of self-contemplation. Self-contemplation with the attitude of love. And, you know, it can be challenging if you don't like yourself. But that's why it's so important to pray at the beginning and to set the intention that it's going to be miraculous. It's going to be so profoundly healing, so deeply nourishing, so expansive, that you're going to think, I could do this once a month and bring tremendous benefit to myself and my family and my workplace. Oh, I think I'm going to do that. And during the day, just notice, it's kind of like a fast for the mind. So if you've ever done fasting, I've done a lot of fasting and cleansing. When I first started, there were so many cravings. Cravings, cravings, cravings. So you'll remember in one of the classes for Living A Course in Miracles, I talked about attachments, cravings, and aversions. So you'll notice, there are so many attachments to whatever. Cravings to, I need to go do this. I need to check my email. My phone messages. Whatever. And it's all just the ego trying to distract you. But as an act of self-love, you're tuning within. And you'll be very tempted. Remember, all temptation is of the body. The body will say, I need to take a bath. I need to go for a walk. I need to do some yoga. Well, you can stretch, but stay in the self-contemplation. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. So right now, set a date by which you will have done your first one day. Write it down. Make an agreement with yourself, because remember, self-confidence and self-esteem comes from your spiritual practice, being with yourself, and keeping your agreements. So make a date by which you will have completed the one day. And keep to it. And let me know how it goes. Email me. Let me know how it goes. So I'm going to invite you now to place your hand on your heart and say, I'm making this agreement with myself to do a one-day self-contemplation day in joy, in ease, in grace, in peace, in harmony, for the purpose of my own healing, for the purpose of remembering to love myself and discovering that I am truly lovable, unconditionally lovable. I'm going to keep my agreement, and I'm grateful that I can make it and keep it. And so it is. Amen. Now, one of the reasons why people think that they can't love themselves is because they think that they have done something. There's something about them. It's bad and wrong and unlovable. So you'll also remember in one of the classes I talked about, one of the last class, I think, talked about labels and how we like to label. So the invitation here is to really make the commitment to stop labeling yourself and everyone else. And one label, God. Everyone in your life, including you, is an expression of God, one with the One, your brother, your sister. Be willing to see only that and release any other label. So if you've been labeled as a victim, if you've been labeled as, someone who is ADD, or whatever the label is, that you're schizophrenic or you're manic depressive or you're an incest survivor or an alcoholic, whatever those labels are. I'm not saying that the labels are bad or wrong, because that would just be more judgment, but I'm just inviting you to substitute all those labels for perfect, for whole, for complete, for lovable. I am lovable. There's your affirmation right there. I am lovable. Years ago, I was contemplating love at Valentine's Day, and what came into my mind was, I am in love with the one who invented love, and the one who invented love is in love with me. And the one who invented love cannot wait to tell me about the love and show me the love and share the love. So the love is coming through everyone and everything, because everyone and everything is an expression of my beloved loving me. That is the holy purpose of every human being, is to express divine love. When you are willing to see that everyone is worthy of your good opinion, righteous judgment, then you will know that you are too. And the only reason you don't feel worthy is because you think someone else isn't worthy. And here's the thing. The more you feel truly worthy, the more you will give yourself permission to be authentic. And authenticity is so inspiring. It's so healing. Just think of all the people in your life that you have loved and admired who are authentic. What a healing presence they are in the world, because they are authentic. Well, authentic people generally love themselves. Authenticity is healing. It's nourishing. It's inspiring. Now, here's another motivation for you. I don't ever feel humiliated or ashamed anymore. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. And I really don't think that there's anyone who could humiliate me or shame me. And here's why. It's not because I'm arrogant. It's not because I think I'm better than anyone. It's simply because I am not willing to hold any judgments about myself. They come up all the time, but I don't hold them. I won't entertain them. I release them. And so they come up less and less. For me, one of the final things that I could feel ashamed about was that I was a spiritual teacher who still held the right to judge others, and I wasn't walking my talk. But when I made the commitment to walk my talk so that I could truly be a successful teacher, all that changed. And it has been so nourishing, so healing to my spirit, that I have made that commitment, and I keep it to the best of my ability every day. So this is an important thing to understand. We fall down in our commitments, but it's the quality of how we pick ourselves up. Do we berate ourselves because we didn't keep our commitment, or do we encourage ourselves to keep it now, to make amends now, to apologize, to set it straight, to set it right? That builds self-confidence and self-esteem. When we make it right, when we make amends, when we apologize, it is an act of self-love. It is wounding when we know we have made a mistake. In other words, if we have forgotten somebody else's feelings in some way, disrespected ourselves or someone else, if we don't acknowledge it and make amends in a gentle, loving way, we feel ashamed. We feel embarrassed. We judge ourselves. We internalize the shame and the embarrassment. One of the major things that spiritual seekers feel guilty about is they know better, but they don't do better. They don't require it of themselves. So this is one of the things that I encourage you to recognize. Start to look for every opportunity to build the spiritual muscle of accountability, of commitment, to holding yourself accountable to your intentions and not giving yourself any wiggle room, and being able to hold yourself accountable, keep your commitments with love, with compassion. Many spiritual seekers do themselves a disservice and energize a lack of self-love, a lack of self-worth, by putting other people's needs and feelings above their own in a way that is dysfunctionally compassionate. And I used to do that. So I didn't used to have clear boundaries, and I would let people take advantage of me and misuse my loving kindness out of a dysfunctional compassion, thinking, oh, they don't know any better. Now, and I would allow them to do it again. And that was dysfunctionally compassionate. So having clear, loving boundaries is part of our spiritual practice. When we spend time with ourselves, when we invest ourselves in our spiritual practice, in the contemplative time, in the making of prayers, in the journaling with loving intention, in the studies, but not necessarily in the group, but with ourselves, really looking inward, then what happens is that's where we discover, oh, I see that painful episode was really because I didn't have a clear boundary. I was being dysfunctionally compassionate. Oh, I see now that person is judging me because I'm judging them, and the judger always feels judged. So it's starting with me. Oh, I see that now. You see, the awakened insights, the guidance, the miraculous healings will really take place in your relationship with yourself. So any way that you're looking outside yourself for validation, it's time to let that go. Time to let that go. Many spiritual seekers seek validation because they know so much. Oh, they know so much. They're so spiritual. But they don't walk their talk. So underneath all that knowledge and information is this tremendous self-loathing, lack of self-respect, self-confidence, self-esteem, self-love. It comes from the spiritual practice. It comes from looking within. It doesn't come from anything else. And when we're willing to do the spiritual practices, and this is why I teach the classes that I do that offer the practices, that's when the healing happens. That's when the miracles get ignited. And that is the one thing that I see so many spiritual seekers avoiding. They're collecting more and more information when really what's needed is discipline. Discipline. And what I think of that spiritual discipline as is my devotion to love itself. So I invite you to put your hand on your heart again. Take a breath of gratitude. And just call to mind a primary relationship that doesn't feel harmonious. And just look at, where are you giving to get in that relationship? Where are you giving to get? Are you overgiving? Are you trying to manipulate and control by giving? Is that self-loving? If you really loved yourself, would you do that? Is that going to build your confidence? Is it really possible to ever manipulate, manage, and control people, including ourselves, to get what we think we want? Is it ever possible to have a spiritual awakening through that practice? You know that it's not. You know that it's just delaying your healing. It's just intensifying the sense of aloneness and separation and unworthiness. Stop it now. Make that commitment now to stop that. And to step into the awakening that you deeply desire. Seeking outside of yourself when you know deep in your heart that that is never where you will find what it is you desire is one of the most painful practices. It's just delaying. So Course in Miracles tells us that the Course is designed to help us save time. You can save time by making a commitment now to deepen your spiritual practice. And what many people do is they make that commitment and they write a list of all the things they're going to do to deepen their spiritual practice. And within 2 days, they've abandoned the list. And that just deepens the suffering. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's why I offer the daily power prayer. It's a few minutes a day. The email comes as your reminder. Something small, something simple. Every little bit of spiritual muscle that you can build builds the self-esteem and the confidence. So in this moment, we're not trying to figure out how to have a healing, how to love ourselves. We're simply making the commitment, cultivating the willingness to see more clearly, to know more clearly, to hear more clearly, to feel more clearly. Our willingness is all that's required. So we're opening our hearts and minds to discover the practices that work for us. And we're willing right now to deepen our spiritual practice, even though we don't know what that's going to look like. We're willing. We're willing to release the judgments and opinions that we've been holding against ourselves and others. We're willing to see and to know and to feel and to hear that as we release the judgments, we will know that we are worthy. That self-worth comes. It's been there all along. But if we retain the right to attack, we will feel unworthy. So, we're releasing the need to attack right now. And we're instead cultivating the habit of appreciating, praising, giving thanks. We're in gratitude right now that we are lovable. That everyone is lovable. Everyone is worthy. We're grateful and thankful to do our part so that all are lifted, all discover self-love and self-worth. The end to all war, all pain and suffering is in this practice. World peace is in this practice, and we are dedicating ourselves right now to world peace. Sharing the benefits with everyone. In grace and gratitude, we joyfully, joyfully let it be. And so it is. Amen.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.